NASA's tool shed.
This session is called Windows App Studio from No Code to Code. Brothers, Gary, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm Gary Festino, the middle Festino of the Festino brothers. I'm a graphic designer of the group. I do the website design, also do the SEO and some of the background stuff for various clients, and I design the icons and graphics and so forth for all our apps.
So it's all about the pain, and the pain is very simple, right? You want to get apps done quick. This is all pain that we've gone through. We get a lot of ideas. A lot of people say, hey, I got a great idea for an app. Anybody happen to anybody here? Yeah. It's like, okay, man, let's go ahead and start doing this. And well, you got to get it done quick. You know, that's really the bottom line. And it's really nice to have templates to help you build these things or code that you can find, good samples, right? And that really gives you a big, big jump start. Universal Windows Platform, UWP, one binary, one project. That's what we're talking about here today in the Windows environment. We will give you a few tips on some of the resources going to other platforms today as well, especially in the way of graphics for Android and iOS. But really, we're going to be talking about UWP here on Windows. So you're going to be able to create one binary that's going to run on the tablet as well as the phone. And I'm just in love with that. You know, it's one project in your solution. It's really, we've come a long way at Microsoft in terms of, you know, the architecture and what's needed to build these apps that go across all these different devices. A lot of great data sources you'll find, Flickr, YouTube, APIs. Is there a way to automate this? A lot of times if you're building an app that requires this kind of information, it's pretty tough, you know, to go ahead and start doing that and use all of the, APIs, excuse me. Yeah. Who here has used REST services in their app, consumed them? All right, this is a big, big announcement they had just about a month ago, so now you can actually consume REST services through App Studio as well. And we use CSV files for our collections to import that data into App Studio, but this can be tricky. Has anybody ever tried to import a CSV file into App Studio here? One thing you'll find right away is when you do a file save as in Excel, the common delimiter for CSVs is what? Comma.
Comma.
And the requirement on App Studio is what? Semicolon. So that's problem number one, and especially if you got commas in your data, like descriptions that contain commas and stuff like that, that's a nightmare. So I actually have a handy macro I'm going to share with you on that one. And then you have how do I incorporate favorites and graphics. Boy, Gary, you talk about that one.
Yes, sir. We're going to talk about that. Oh, Gary, talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what are the limits, right?
Yes, yeah, so we're going to talk about how the limitations of using the graphic in the apps. Some you need high res, some you need low res, and the size requirements. And sometimes you want to use a JPEG, and other times you want to use a PNG file. So we'll get right into the meat of that.
And sharing an app. We'll talk about that.
You're going to have to share it with your testers. And how do we do that?
Yeah,
we use
App Studio
software.
That's right.
That's
yeah, we'll show you that too. And finally, we're going to end with some code. I'm actually going to walk through some of the code that you generate with App Studio. This is a beautiful thing. A lot of times, I might even just spin up a quick App Studio app and just download the code just to get the sample code to do something like a hamburger menu or navigation or search right in the application. And a lot of this stuff is really already done for you. And it's so much better than doing what? File new in Visual Studio, right, for a universal app. This gives you a lot more to get going with, you know, to get your app done quicker. All right, so that's the pain. So what we're going to cover here today, we're going to be covering templates for universal Windows platform apps, and then also graphics, massive updates. We're going to talk about the data, installable packages, as well as a little tour of the code. So these are the templates for doing App Studio apps. You have a hosted web template. This is very cool where you can just feed in a URL. And if it's a responsive website in particular, it really works well. And you can just create an app like pretty much instantaneously if you got a great portal that's responsive. And then what this one does is actually generates JavaScript on the back end to house that particular URL inside of a view. And it's pretty slick, so that solves one problem I know a lot of folks have, that they got a great portal, but they don't have an app. So this is really an easy way to do it. You know, just go ahead and wrap it up and put it in there. Also, you've got a lot of other ones. We're going to show you my products catalog and our demo. You got a Rock Band, favorite band app. That's a good template to get started, just in case you want to write you know, rock band apps like certain companies do, like Festino Brothers, right? Like, FBI like apps. There's a new pivot control too that is available. So there's a pivot app. That's where you thumb through the different panels, and a WordPress blog as well. So the responsive website, you really can do it in 5 minutes. That's a screenshot. You just go ahead and, like, jerrygarcia.com, for example, go ahead and put that in. Then you can see it in the preview right there. Okay. Pivot template, just go ahead and add in your data sources. You can see all the different data sources available across the bottom. There's even more than that. You got an RSS feed, YouTube, Flickr, Bing, Facebook. Instagram is no longer. That was taken away with the last release because I think Instagram just wants to honor first-party apps, right, to include it with it. So they had to take it out of the App Studio group. And then, you know, there's the different titles over there on the right. So products catalog, let's go take a look at this live. We'll go out to the site. So we'll go ahead and go to start new. And you can, so very first time you come in, you can experiment with all these. This one here is a pretty nice one because it's really got a lot of nice graphics and stuff like that already built in. So say products, Tampa, code, camp.
Here we are.
And go ahead and start now. You can see the different previews that are available. It's got a built-in emulator up there so you can kind of see what the app looks like when it loads up. So this has several different sections. These are all collections. You can see because of the little collection icon right there. So all that is hard-coded data that you load up from like a spreadsheet or something like that, and you can create a table and it'll bind to it. And so that's nice for small data sets or data sets that you know are kind of fixed. Like in our case, we do discographies, so there's only like 40 or 50, you know, those that are available. You don't need to have a live data source in that. You can do a collection. And then this one here has an RSS feed, so this is an example of that. All right, so here we are, and we've got the app, and then we got the data. If you take a look at the data here, this is actually a feed, right, that's coming in. You can see it right there, and it's going to populate it. On the right, you can see the actual hamburger menu. You got all the different devices, smartphones. This goes to each particular section, and each one of these is wired up to its own collection. You can also specify here the icon you want for the navigation pane. So you can see right there for, this is for the one down here at the bottom, which was the device news. Right here, you can see that same icon that's right there over here on the device news. So that's where you go ahead and specify that. You click into the details, and then you have also the information there on the detail level. All right, so that's how you get started real quick, very easy, a good sample there to go ahead and get going with. So let's go back out to the deck area. I think we're going to talk about graphics next,
okay,
which is your specialty.
That's it.
So let's go ahead and bring this back up here, and you can give everybody a good 5 minutes worth of great information about graphics.
Okay, so you have the transparent icons that you need for navigation and your links, and that you see the little globe there and the link icon. Those are transparent. And then you have the badges, which is the square one with the Honor DeFranco, and then also the banner graphics. And the thing to note is that you may be inclined to go from the biggest graphic to the smallest graphic and keep reducing your artwork, but in some cases you lose a lot of detail that way. So you almost have to recreate your artwork for the various sizes that are required. The next slide is the banners. And here's some of the sizes. For example, the horizontal banner that you see, although that like that checkerboard graphic, that there is called the Hero banner, and that's 28 by 80 by 500 pixels. And then, if you go into mobile mode, which is the next one, which would be 720 by 400, and those are two different pieces of artwork that you need. You can't reduce one for the other. And what we found out is most of the time we use PNG files. PNG files, right? But in the case of the Hero banner, the PNG file was just too large, so we had to go back to JPEG and JPG.
Yeah, it was about 1 meg versus like 100K, I think. It was really significant.
Right.
So
right.
That big one he's talking about, the 2880 yep. by 500, that one there, we ended up with JPEGs. And
right.
Tell him about the naming conventions and how we got burned with that one.
The naming conventions, you have to start with letters, for example, especially if you're going cross-platform.
The image file names.
iOS and, yep. and Android, you got to start the name of the file with letters. You can't start it with a number. And then, of course, some of the others are typical. For example, you can't use a dash. You have to use an underscore. And then you exclude slashes, for example, because that means a folder, or even a dot dot would mean a folder. So you can't do that. And also, the when you have the PNG file, you got to remember to flatten that PNG file. And in this case, if you don't need transparency, take off transparency, because that also reduces the size of the file. But of course, for the navigation icons, you need transparency. So it's kind of an oxymoron.
Who here does graphics for their apps?
Right.
Who does their own graphics? A few of you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what he's getting about here, especially the naming conventions, it's not so important for Windows. Windows will take anything. But when you go to use these same data sources, which we typically do for the other platforms, Android and iOS, that's where we get burned. Android in particular is one of the stickler where you can't start it with a number and you can't have a dash in the name of the file.
Right.
So we had to do massive renames on a lot of our files because we had that the first time we went in and did an Android app. And then the ping is good because iOS has an option to optimize those when you go to
optimize.
Do the compile. So those are probably preferable for iOS. Now, it's always a trade-off, right? So like we found a trade-off here with the ping file being so big, especially for that big banner image that we said, screw it, we're just going to do the JPEG for that. It looks just as good and it's a lot less space. So those are the trade-offs. So what else we got here, Gary?
We go into the link icons, which are across the top there. Those are all customizable. Right now you see four link icons, and if you wanted to, you could do an individual icon there, like the star, for example, for favorites is a specialty. At one time, they were a font, believe it or not. Microsoft made a font with those icons in them, and you could not replace them. But now with this upgrade, you can go in and replace the graphics with your own individual graphics.
Well, actually, in the place you're replacing them is not in the IDD. That would be in the code, right? So that would be a customized makeover that you would add on afterwards after you've downloaded the source code. And then our approach to using App Studio is do everything you can in App Studio first.
Right.
Get everything tweaked out, all your master pages, detail pages, anything that you want to use in the application, all the graphics, all the integration with Hockey App, all the integration with ad clients. Get that all working up in App Studio. And then once you're done with that, then download the source code and don't look back. Right, you start downloading source code at that point, and then you go ahead and start doing your customizations. This might be one customization is on that action bar. And this is actually this hasn't always been there.
That's right.
There was a certain MVP that talked to the PMs about this, about a year or two ago when I was out in Redmond. And I said, it'd be nice to do something on those detail pages in the way of actions, because we have a detail page for our records, right, for the albums, right, that are in the discography, and we'd like to put links in there to, go out to the stores. And we really had to put a lot of custom code afterwards to do that. Now, at least, these actions are there. And if you have a URL in your data, you will end up getting an action link on the detail page, and you'll see it there with the little clip. So the last piece here is about the navigation icons, Gary.
And these are the ones we customize for all these. And
these icons on the left that you're seeing, these are customizable in the IDE, so you can put, get this hamburger menu all in shape through App Studio.
Right. And those are all transparent, by the way, and the reverse too. So they're white on clear. So when you make your artwork, is kind of very difficult to see on your computer. So what I do is I generally make them in a positive, and then reverse it when I'm all done. Yep.
All right. So let's show you this in a demo here. We've got some actually live data here on this.
While you're doing that,
this is the actual app up on the project in App Studio we're working on Ani DeFranco. So you can see our pull downs, right, with all the different icons in it. And then you also have the emulators, right? So if we click on any one of these sections now, what you'll see is the hero image on top.
Right.
But if we go ahead and view this in full screen, like in a wider desktop view, now if I click on that, you'll see is in their section here, that's the high-res one.
That's
that
the
comes
high-res,
in.
Yeah.
So now you see how it automatically flips. Now, the place you do this is you wire this up on the config section, on the config tab, and this is where you specify your hero image, and then also whether you want to show it in the navigation pane or not, and you want to show it on the home page or not. So we chose primarily not to show these on the homepage
because
we found it was kind of a bit distracting to put all those in those sections. So we opted not to do that, but we do put it on the on a nice header when you open up the section.
Section you got to have.
Or the list view of that particular information, piece of information. So
depending on your device, it switches from the long hero banner to the mobile banner.
This is the app live, and then now you can also see over here, once we click into one of these discographies, now you've got these action items up there, and we haven't customized these icons yet because we're not quite done with tweaking everything like we want to in App Studio. And as soon as we do, we'll go ahead and put our custom icons in there. I'll show you in the code when we take a look at the code where that's at. And then also favorites, right? So how does that work? So if you go ahead and bring up a any one of these collections, like say this one here, and then you go and click on the detail, and then you hit this little favorite star, then we come back over to the favorites menu. You see it over there with the list that you have in the favorites. So that you set up over here in the app. You can go back to the anytime you got a collection, you will see a an entry on the config. So here's our like album collection. So let's go ahead and bring up the page for this.
There's a checkbox for favorite.
Yeah, and there would be a checkbox on the config tab to include that. Now, currently you can only do this with collections. So like our YouTube thing, we couldn't do that. But what I wanted to do was go back and take a look at the under.
This is a new feature as well. The Windows App Studio.
There it is. Now, right there, allow favorites. Do you want to use add favorites? So you can just put yes there, and then now that'll automatically work. So that's where you find that up in the IDE. All right, continuing on. Massive updates in June. One of the biggest ones I love is the REST API now. You can go ahead and consume data through REST. And I'll actually show you a demo of that in a minute. The hosted web app, you have capability declarations, so if you want to use Cortana or something like that in the app, you specify it that way. A lot of tool improvements and a lot of generated app improvements, a ton of these, and really great code this thing generates in the way of caching and being able to load that data simultaneously in each one of your feeds, and it really comes up lickety-split. And now they have automatic scrolling back in there. They had it one time, and then they took it away. Now they put it back in, thank goodness. And, a lot of these suggestions, we actually go pretty deep into this product. So a lot of times, at least weekly communication with the PM. So if you ever have an idea or a bug or something like that, let me know. And I can use me as a resource, right, to really get back to the folks that are writing this stuff and creating this particular product, and I can provide that feedback to them. So now, for example, on the YouTube page where we have all our videos, if you scroll down maybe 10 or 20 videos, we got like over 70 or 100 sometimes, then you'll see the second set, kind of coming in, right, afterwards. It doesn't load the whole thing at once, so you got good performance. And as you're scrolling down, you'll see more load in. So that's pretty nice. And then it's an open source library as well. So a lot of people don't realize this, but if you're using App Studio as a shell to build your application, I just got back doing a job on using App Studio and sitting in on top of their back end, and it was great. And there was one case there where we wanted to maybe create dynamic menus, for example. And to do that, we would actually need to have access to the source code in App Studio. So you're not caught short. You can certainly do that. You can download the source code for App Studio, all the libraries, put those in your project, and modify it to your heart's content. So that's another nice benefit, and a lot of people don't realize that that's up there. That's how we got the RSS feed into App Studio. Not the RSS feed, the REST API into the App Studio product was through the open source project on GitHub. So Instagram data source removed, like I had talked about, and generated app improvements, new detail pages, new performance improvements, really loads quick, and ordering also on your content is established in the configuration, so you can sort your data, which is always a good thing, right, when you go ahead and presenting it. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at all the different data sources, and One more thing on the data collections themselves. How do you do them? Well, the way you start out doing them is through the IDE, and you do one record at a time. And it's very easy to do, but boy, is it time consuming. And you can't do massive updates because you're doing one at a time. Another alternative is to use the Windows App Studio Collection app. That's better. It's an easier IDE to look at, and it's still time consuming. I like to use that for spot checking my data, you know, real quick, bring up my collection. And so if you've got any collections, you can go ahead and do that way. The way we found that we're doing now is importing a CSV file. It's very fast, massive upload, so you can do everything at once. So what I do is I give a spreadsheet to my brother, like my brother Rich, right, to log all the videos that we want to include in the app. So he can handle Excel, goes in, puts all the data in, and then I'll go ahead and export that to a CSV file and use it in the app.
Yeah, works good.
And then, raw exported CSV is not supported in App Studio. So I was very disappointed with this, and this really gave me headaches like we talked about in the intro. And so this is what we did. That's the App Studio Collection app, so it's in the App Store. So just look up Windows App Studio Collections, and you can see it. And see, it's very nicely displayed. You get really nice. You get, you know, all your data here on the right. You can go ahead and display that. But this is the important thing. This is worth the price of admission to CodeCamp alone, this slide right here. So what you have here, step one, is you add your column headers manually in the IDE. So when you go define a collection through App Studio, you got to define that first anyway. Use the same exact column headers in Excel. And then for image files, just use a URL or a fully quiet local path for the file name. And when you import it into App Studio, it'll suck them in automatically. And then use a VB macro that I'm going to show you in a second here to export with semicolons and put double quotes around all the fields.
Double quotes is the key.
Right, this is the key. So this is the macro right here. So when you download this deck, this is the one, you know, you code by PowerPoint. This is one of those examples right here, right? So just copy this code, put it into your macro inside of Excel. And you can see right there, we got the delimiters up on top. You got the Q string delimiter, so that's double quotes. And then down here, this other red line, this is the one that does everything. It takes your delimiter, puts the double quotes around every field that's in your Excel spreadsheet, and that will dump out the file in the correct order that you need to import with. This is very powerful, and this is a real power tip for you. You know, it make your life easier when you're working with collections. Yeah, well, they are the ones that told me about it because I was complaining how it was so difficult to import this stuff. So they said, well, try, you know, they sent me a link, and I got the link in the resources where you can go and actually read the code. I modified this loop, the samples that on that link a little bit where I highlighted in red. I added in both the delimiter and the double-quoted string. And then I put both of those in the delimiter, and that worked out just fine. Yep. I think they have two separate examples on the site, one that uses the delimiters and the other one uses the quotes, and they just combine them into one macro. And then the favorites, we showed you that in the config tag. Now let's take a look at this really cool REST API. This is going to be a great demo here. So if we go ahead and bring this up on the REST API, I'll go ahead and bring up the sample here. All right, so here's our data, and if we go back and take a look at the data here for the rest, let's go ahead back to the beginning. First thing you want to do, this is SeatGeek.com we're going out to, the REST service, and this is actually documented in the blog that's up on the, if you click under news and you go to all the different blog posts for App Studio, you'll find this one. And so first thing we do, we hit the check API, that you get a green light there. Then you go see you got events is the one we're going to go ahead and start using. Then you ask you for the ID, so that's just typically an ID field. And then you get down to the actual data, and then you start picking and chooses which fields you want to use over here. Now to help you figure this all out, there's a little eyeball here that comes up, and you can actually see all the data that's in the events. So now you can see right here, this is sums of souls coming up, and you got SeatGeek.com, that's the URL for the tickets. You get these pull downs for groupings. So there's the venue information, the city of Rockton at Whiskey's Rockton Inn in Illinois. And so all that data. So now you know exactly, you know, which fields got which data, and that's how you determine which ones you want to actually expose to your application. Yep. And then the next page is, the next group is for pagination. How do you want to do your paging? Finally, you get to an order clause. Yeah, I want to order it, and they say what parameter you want to order it by. So this is beautiful. This is brand new. It just came out in June. They announced this for your REST APIs. So lots of good stuff there, and that then you can see the actual app over here on the right. You can just drill in, and there's the information that you have as well. So we're actually using this in, I think it was the tour section, right, Gary, of the Ani DeFranco app?
Yes, it is. It's actual right example here. For the app.
So we go down to the tour section.
And you'll see it.
Right live. Here. So there's our live feed. And we got the theater coming up with the information. And this link goes actually right out to the tickets. So you can actually buy the tickets right through the app. So
that's what our artists love about the app. They
can
buy tickets.
SeatGeek has a, what do you call that? Affiliate program.
Affiliate program.
All right, so might get some trickle change, you know, by using this in the app. So we'll see how that works out. And all of our links, we're in affiliate programs there as well. So if you take a look at the app, once again, go back over to like to the discography. Then we had, like I mentioned, all these links right here. So this will go right out to Groove. Does a deep link right out to Groove. And
Groove we've got affiliate with our affiliate program.
As well as eBay and Amazon for the searching. So that's how you get to that. And the last section here we'll close with is about the code, right? And know the code. You have to know the code. How does it go? To get in the shed. Know the code.
Who gets
right?
It?
That's it.
You get it.
So let's go ahead and bring that up. And show you the code window. Let's bring up the deck just to lead in here a little bit. So, and installable packages. I almost forgot about that. So there's a way to help share your product with your team members and testers, and it's called installable packages. And it's on the generate section at the very tail end of App Studio. There you generate the source code and generate, there's other options to generate packages as well as installables. And the installables, you just click installable packages. Then you'll see this part populate here, get an installable package. And then all you gotta do is send an email out to your team and it'll have the link and download this Windows App Studio installer. And there's the get the package, right? And there's the App Studio installer.
Works nicely. Best
and then,
for updates.
Boom, you run the App Studio installer, and there is the app that you're sharing, and then you just go ahead and hit update or install.
Yep.
And boys, it's so easy to do the deployment there.
It's great, especially for updates when we change it often. You can keep going back in it.
So this last part here about navigation, we're going to cover navigation, search, master detail, hockey command, the hockey app, command bar, caching, and ad client. Who here has used the hockey app? Anybody? A couple of you, okay, so for those that haven't, that's about crash reporting. I would never ever implement an app into production without some kind of crash reporting, right? You want to know how your app is performing worldwide because, you know, otherwise you won't know. I mean, you might get a support call, but you don't want to be getting that's for sure. You want to know, be proactive, you know, about that sort of thing. Because once an app crashes, when you use an app that crashes, do you ever go back to it?
Very rarely.
I mean, it's very, very common knowledge. I mean, you even have one crash, at least 90% of users won't go back to the app. I mean, so it's very, very important. That's right up there, very high in the list, right, when you're producing these. So the hockey app is integrated right into Visual Studio. So you enable crash analytics, or it says go to portal, or, you know, start up, you know, and you just right mouse click on the project, select hockey app, and there you go. And then this is a picture of the portal, what it looks like. And then you can see bottom below, you got all the crashes, the downloads, number of users. Also, you'll be able to use this for team testing. And what you do is you drag the bundle up to this site, and then your team will be notified that you have it. Now, where we're at right now, it's not quite there yet because the bundle is not enough by itself to have it installed on somebody's machine yet. And I noticed there's a new app in the store that will do installation, but it says on the bottom for a future version of Windows. Uh-huh. So I'm guessing, just guessing, maybe the next rev, right, that comes out for Windows 10, then that will be available. So again, another way to distribute the app in addition to the installer. So this will actually be more useful once you do custom code, right? And then you can do your build and upload the bundle because you won't have the App Studio installer available to you once you start doing custom code. So I think there's a few things. And then there's a pricing here. It's up on the site. I think you get two free under the personal plan right there at the bottom to test it out with and kick the tires. There's a few other error reporting packages to check into. I believe Insights is still available with Xamarin. So that might be one for doing crash reporting. And then also Raygun, did some contract for them last year. That's an excellent crash reporting solution and very reasonable as well. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at the codes. So the very first thing we'll take a look at is that first navigation pane that we come into, where you have the, that would be in the shell. All right, so here's the XAML for the shell, where you get the, you know, the default header template, for example, where you get the header put up in the top left, and you can modify this if you have a logo or something. You can stick it right in there. And then the code behind on this is really the cool thing. So this is where you get into a area where you have the initialized and app navigation item. So what I'm showing you here is an app we're working on. This is the FBI apps. And so what we have here in this application are a few things. Number one, we've got our homepage, which has our Festino Brothers news on the ad. So ads are supported as well. You just go to settings and you go to click on the ad support right down over here. Say enable client ad, go out to Dev Center, create a couple ad units in Microsoft, and the thing gets wired up automatically. This is where you integrate the hockey app in down over here on the left. This link here will guide you step by step into creating a application definition up in the hockey app. Then you put the key in here automatically, and what that does is we'll go ahead and put that into your code over in your app CS file, which you can see right there. So here is the one line of code that's used, basically gets created there when you're doing that for a hockey app. So that's the integration point. All right, so what I was showing here was basically this navigation items on this app. So we have like four or five of them here. We've got the software news, we got the Tull news that we do. Our gallery is gonna have some pictures. There's the mobile application developer user group with Michael Stark here, also running that group. We're gonna have our next meeting on August 15th over at probably the Agile Thought office. We gotta clear it with them, but we're looking for speakers. Anyone wants to speak at that meeting, you know, let us know. We'll get you up there. And then also, look at this. I got all my Channel 9 Toolshed videos we're going to put in this app as well. So I can't wait to get this thing finished up. So those navigation items you saw in the navigation bar right here. So if you want to add any items custom afterwards, this is the place to modify right there. So that is one thing. And then also there was a search page, right? So when we bring up this app and we do a search, type in like test here, bring it up, and now comes everything with test in it, right? So that is built into this application, and that is under the pages. Once again, it's going to be under the search page.
That's a new feature as
well. So here's the XAML
well.
For that and the logic for, you know, doing the search. So again, if you just need to incorporate search in your app, just create, go ahead and create a shell. Now you got all the code for it right here. You know, it's a very beautiful thing. The view models are very important, especially when you start going to, this refresh command right here, for example. If you take a look where that's done in the code, it's all done through the view models. And the view model, there would be three of them, primarily be using the main view model, the list view model, and then the detail view model, right? So the main view model would be like coming in on the home page, and there you can see the code that's needed for that right there. So there's a refresh command. You got your style as a refresh, and you have the refresh button. And then whether it's a primary or a secondary, you know, command. And then you can see that there's the IntelliSense, right, that comes up for that. So an example of a secondary would be if I go into like a detail page here and drop down. Now these are all secondary. I got share, small text, you know, normal text or whatever. Those are all secondary commands on the right. So this is customizable through your view model, and then also you may have to put in some XAML for the you know, for the app bar commands. Like for example, if I bring up these pages, we have the actually layouts is where you see the master detail relationship. So if you come down over here, this is the list layout I'm using, which is the big vertical card. And when you're out on the site, you'll recognize these names, right? Because when you go in to take a look at the list page here, detail, here they are, right? There's big vertical cards. This one here is big horizontal card. horizontal card. You can see the names display right there, and there's a template for each one of these in the code. Same thing for the detail page. There's a template for, you know, the layouts, right, for the generic photo text layout and a relation, related content, which is kind of cool. You can kind of put relationships between different collections there and have those display as well. So that's pretty good stuff. And then where you find here is this is the code for this. And you come down, you actually have the binding you see here for title and image. And this is all through a relative panel control, which is great. So the list view that you saw there, right, if you had an image in there, the image would be the first thing here. And you're going to align that with the top of the panel. And then you say, okay, I want the title to go where? Below the image. And the next thing they got in here is the subtitle. And I want that to go below the title. And these are all, you know, you could do anything you want. You could say, okay, I want to go, and I want to go right of the image, you know, or something like that. So these are all through, just, you know, bring down the IntelliSense at that point, and you can see all your different options for tweaking how the formatting looks. They do a pretty good job of giving you a great template, but sometimes maybe you want to add additional fields in, and that's where you also use the view models to do that with. So if you come back over to the view models, for example, on the list page, and in the list page right here, what you'll see here are the view models, searching, filtering, parsing. These are all in there as well. So a lot of good stuff there in terms of how you actually get this data, and the detail view you can actually see right there too. So that's a good place to spend a lot of your time, is in the view models, and then also in these layouts. There's a detail layout here as well. So here you can actually see some of the layouts that are in here in the grid. And then
very good.
What was the last thing I wanted to show? One more thing. Well, the hockey app we showed you right
hockey
here.
App,
right? Just right mouse click and you go to, where is it? Hockey app right there. So open the portal up. You go right out to the portal and start using that for your crash reporting. So let's go back out to the deck here. And caching was the only other thing. So that there, if we go take a look at our data loader, you can see how that works with caching. And so there's the cache key that comes into these loader settings. This is an event that gets called every time you load up a new section in the app. And if you go through the code, there's the load async that gets in and loads all your data simultaneously from each one of them there. It's on a separate thread, which is very performant, you know, not tied to UI, and this is some great code that you have in here. So basically, when you're running your app, every time you go to the home page, it does a refresh. There's a timestamp when it was refreshed last. You can just go ahead and hit the refresh button if you want, then you can see the time got updated down there below. And every time you go to a section, it may have seen those dots go right across, right? It's actually doing a refresh. So your data is always current, no matter what page you're going to. And this wasn't always the case.
That's correct.
This has really been polished up, and it works very, very nice now. So we're going to end here because it's getting time for lunch, and I don't want you to miss lunch, but let's go over some resources for you here. The second one there, the text tutorial on how to use. This is always a good thing to, you know, try to take a look at. Hold on, I've got a picture moment. I got to get my hat right on.
Yeah,
all
that's
right.
It.
Get now you hat. Can take one. Okay, that's it. That's
what
you do, right? And also, yeah, the VBA macro link is right at the bottom there. That's the one to use that, you know, quick macro, right, to go ahead and export the information. Again, that was a painful problem I spent a lot of time on, and boy, once I had that macro down, I was like happy, you know, very happy, you know, that I was able to do that very easily.
Yeah.
And finally, the blog on the June release and the REST API and the GitHub links are all there. We are doing, and we do monthly webcast. My brother Gary and Rich, all three of us get together. The next one we're doing is in September. We're going to take August off for a little vacation time.
Yep.
And September 12th, and I think what we're going to do is cover the different meeting products that are out there.
Right. How do you use the software like GoToMeeting and also Start Meeting and some of the new products for Microsoft as well.
That's right. Which all the Skype business Skype for and all business. That kind of stuff. Right. So I think that's what we got tap for September 12th. Our mobile application developer group, madtampa.com. We got a meetup out there too for Tampa Bay dash mobile app dev developers. And we'll also have the Channel 9 tool series. This is our contact information. This link is not the link you want. I forgot to update that. The link for the deck, I'll go ahead and bring that up right now once again. So for anybody that walked in late, you can, right here, this is the one here that's got the goods.
That's the link.
So we'll go ahead and leave that up there. All right, everybody, how was that, okay?
We're good.
Thank you very much.
Good.
All right, that's a wrap. Thank you very much.